All right. So, well, good morning. If you're wearing pajamas today, welcome. You are exactly where you're supposed to be. If you're eating pancakes in church, honestly, this might be the most comfortable service we've ever had. You know, we're just a few days away from a brand new year, and whether you love New Year's resolutions or you completely ignore them, there's something in all of us that feels this pull towards a reset. You know, a fresh start, a clean slate, a chance to say maybe this year will be different. You know, kids and adults alike, I mean, you know, have you guys ever played a game where something goes wrong and you're like, hey, can we just start over? Can we pretend like maybe you guys are playing this game right here and you're like, hey, can we just start over? Maybe start with a different foundation. And adults, we feel the same way too. We just say it more quietly in our heads. But I think a lot of us walk into this, you know, into this morning. I mean, we're 3 days after Christmas. One of the reasons, you know, our heart behind this event is creating a space to just say, hey, get out of bed and come here. Now, I guarantee you, most of you didn't do that. But the heart being, we didn't want this to be a, like, you got to have it all together. We want to just be here knowing that we've just, you know, ended a very busy, chaotic season. I think a lot of us, you know, walk into this morning feeling tired, or the last year, this last year, I think for many of us, it's weighed us down. Stress, schedules, disappointment, habits, sin, distractions, sometimes life just feels heavy. And that's why today, the heart behind today and the heart behind this message is not about trying harder or fixing everything about ourselves. Today is about a very simple truth. And that's why the sermon that I'm giving right now is called New Year, New You, Same God. You know, one thing that we learned very quickly, my wife and I learned very quickly having little kids, let's be honest, it's something I'm still learning, is that sometimes when kids are overtired, completely losing it, the solution isn't more talking or more correcting. It's not, they need another explanation, you know, to help them understand so they calm down. They need a reset. You know, sometimes that's changing rooms, literally getting them out of the bedroom before bed when they're having like a panic attack or they're freaking out about something, changing the rooms. Sometimes it's just slowing things down, and sometimes it just means starting fresh. And honestly, I think that's where many of us are right now. We don't need more guilt or pressure. We need a reset, but we need a reset that starts with God. And so amen. So today isn't about new year, new you, try harder, okay? It's about something better, that in the midst of life's uncertainties and difficulties, we have a God who remains the same. And so where I want to camp, just look at a couple of verses today, is the book of Hebrews that was written to people who were tired. And these are people who loved Jesus, but they were discouraged and they were worn out and they were spiritually weary. And the author says something important in Hebrews 12:1. And I want to read that real quick. It says, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. Our passage this morning begins with a word that points us backward. You know, one of the things that the last year or so, the student ministry, we were going through the book of Romans. And if you look through the book of Romans, you'll see that there's a lot, there's consistently a lot of a word that Paul repeats over and over and over again, and the word is therefore. And what I tried to ingrain in our students was that whenever you see the word therefore, you need to ask yourself, what's the therefore, therefore? Okay? Because whenever you see therefore, it points back to the scripture before that. And so if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, because the writer is pointing us back to that, that Hebrews 11 is often called the hall of faith. It's a long list of men and women who trusted God when life was hard, people who lived by faith even when they didn't have all the answers. And I think it's amazing that they're referencing this hall of faith as we're talking about Hebrews 12:1, because these weren't perfect people, they were faithful people. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham left what was familiar. By faith, Moses chose obedience over comfort. And the list can go on and on and on. And here's where it's important for all of us, especially for families to hear today. These people weren't heroes because they were flawless. Noah messed up. Abraham lied. Moses lost his temper. David failed in huge ways. They weren't perfect, but they were willing. They trusted a faithful God with imperfect lives. You know, one of the things that I can't even give you a reference or a quote to who said this, but I have seen this to be faithful, and this is what the scripture says this. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. It's not my quote. I've heard it a billion times, and I've seen it played out throughout, you know, my life and throughout God's word. But it's true that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And that means parents, kids, students, grandparents, everyone who's in this room this morning, you have that same invitation. God doesn't call those who are qualified. He qualifies those who are called. And so let's start by reading Hebrews 12:1 again. It says, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. And so the first thing that this scripture says is to throw off what weighs you down. The focus shifts from the heroes of faith to us, the audience of this scripture. The writer describes following Jesus as a race. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders. And anyone who has ever run even a short race knows this. You don't run well when you're carrying extra weight. You ask anybody who's run a marathon, they're not carrying a backpack with 15 water bottles in it, all right? They're going to try to find the smallest, lightest thing that's going to keep them moving, okay? You know, kids, imagine you're trying to, you know, race your friends, okay? Are you going to win that race wearing heavy boots and a backpack full of rocks? No, you're not going to get very far. The writer says the same is true in our faith, that there are things that weigh us down, and some of those things aren't necessarily bad things, they're just heavy things. Busy schedules, distractions, fear of taking the next step, a faith that maybe has become passive. You know, maybe you believe in God, but you've stopped moving toward him. Or maybe church has become something you attend, not about intentional relationship, not about becoming the church. And I hope you guys have gotten this feel from Pastor Dell and everyone else from our church who stood up here. We don't want to be a church that you check something off a list. That's not what we're about. And I want to, at the same time, I want to be really clear about something. God's love for you does not depend on how well you run. He loves you fully right now, exactly as you are. But the weight that you carry, the weight that we carry, affects how much joy and freedom we experience along the way. See, I heard it said really beautifully by a pastor and author, Matt Chandler, where it says that my affection, or God's affection for me, is not affected by how much time I spend going to church, reading the word, whatever it might be, but rather my awareness of God's affection is impacted. So it's not that God's love for us changes, but the joy and the freedom that we experience, how we see God moving in our lives, is affected when we are not daily plugging in to him through a community of believers, through the word, through worship. And so what I want you to know is that God's love for you does not change, but your awareness of his love does. The other thing we see here in verse 1 is to let go of the sin that entangles. Or it says here in the CSB that to lay us aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. The writer goes on to say that we're called to throw off that sin. And I love the imagery here because sin is like vines around your legs, okay? It has a way of wrapping itself around our lives and tripping us up. And sometimes it's obvious, like anger, pride, bitterness, lust. Sometimes it's quieter. It's shame and guilt holding on to a past mistake that God has already forgiven. And I want to give you the good news for every single person in this room, young and old. Because I know I've needed to hear this many times throughout my life. And I hope the Spirit's putting on me. There's someone in this room who needs to hear this. And I'm assuming there's quite a few. Jesus did not die so you could keep carrying what he already paid. Jesus did not die so you could keep carrying around what he already paid for. If God has forgiven it, he does not want you dragging it into 2026. Let it go. And then the author ends with this. Hebrews, we're going to pretty much wrap up here, but it says, and let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. Run with endurance. Hebrews tells us that this race isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. It's something that we run with endurance. The Christian life is more like a long walk together, sometimes uphill, sometimes, you know, and slow, sometimes downhill and moving a lot quicker than we thought. But following Jesus means showing up and being willing to show up again and again, choosing faith again, trusting God again, even when it's hard. And parents, this matters for how we model our faith to our kids. And kids, this matters because your faith grows over time. Endurance doesn't mean perfection. It means faithfulness. And I'd be remiss to not end with our verse 2. It says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the heart of the passage. This is everything. Because, be honest here, if we're talking about running, it's hard to run well when you're looking in the opposite direction of where you're, you know, going. Give it a try when you get home today. I guarantee you it doesn't work really well, okay? You're trying to run this way and you're looking this way while you're running this way. It's not going to end well, okay? You can't move forward if you're constantly looking back. Jesus is not just our example. He is our goal. He's the reason we run. He's the finish line. And so the world will change. Our circumstances will change. Our energy and our emotions will change. But our God remains the same. And that's why this message isn't about a new version of you. It's about trusting the same faithful God in a new year and that he transforms us every day into a new creation. And so what I hope you guys take out of this is that we don't start a new year by trying harder. We start by trusting Jesus more, by hoping in him more. And so as we prepare to pray together, I want to invite you to think about one thing. You know, what is something that's been weighing you down? What's something that God may be inviting you to release? What's one step of faith that he might be calling you to take as this new year begins? Kids, you can think about something you want God to help you with. Parents, this is a moment to model honesty and trust. And this isn't about trying harder, it's about trusting deeper. New year, new you, same God. And so let's start this year lighter, freer, and focused, running the race together, fixing our eyes on him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this time. God, I thank you for this opportunity for us to come together that where we don't have any pressure, it's just to be together. And God, I pray that as we are entering this new year, that you would just fill us up, that we would fix our eyes on you, Thank you for meeting us here this morning. Thank you for the laughter, for the pajamas, for the pancakes, for the gift of being together as your church family, and as we stand at the edge of this new year. God, we come honestly before you. Some of us feel hopeful. Some of us feel tired. Some of us are carrying things that have been weighing us down for far too long. And Lord, you see it all. Would you help us to release the things that hinder us, the distractions, the fears, the habits, and even the shame? Thank you that through Jesus we are forgiven, we are loved, and we are free. Remind us that we don't have to run this race alone and that your grace is enough. God, I want to pray specifically for the kids in this room. Would you grow their faith? Help them know how deeply you love them. For parents and grandparents, would you give wisdom and patience and endurance as they model faith at home? For every person here, would you help us fix our eyes on you as we step into this new year? Would we boldly proclaim that, God, we trust you with what's ahead, and we thank you that while so much around us changes, you remain the same. We love you, God. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.